Hello and welcome to episode 708 of the official EstablishTheRun.com podcast. My name is Adam Levitan. I'm one of the co-founders here at ETR, as always, joined by fellow co-founder Evan Silva. And the NFL draft is approaching rapidly. Therefore, it is time for all of us to get to know the prospects who will be entering the NFL. And we think no better person on earth to help us do that than Mike Renner, formerly of Pro Football Focus and currently doing big time things like appearing on ESPN and equally big time things like helping our draft coverage here this month. Mike, how's it going, buddy?
Going great. I'm pumped for this. I haven't gotten to talk about these guys with anyone else like all draft season. So I'm pretty hyped to run through these prospects, man.
Yes, we've taken Mike off the breadline and inserted him into our podcast. Evan, how's it going today?
It's going great. Can't wait to pick Mike Renner's brain. We're going to start with wide receivers today. And I think everyone that has paid any kind of attention to the draft so far knows that this is a sick wide receiver class.
Indeed. On today's show, we're not only going to reveal Mike's wide receiver prospect rankings, but Mike is also going to give his best NFL comp for each prospect, and we'll discuss where scouts, analytics guys, NFL draft community all stand. We'll start at from the end, Mike's wide receiver 17, and work our way down to wide receiver 1. Before we get into it today, two quick reminders. First, it is with great joy I can let you know spring football is indeed back. United Football League, I thought, had a pretty solid debut last week. Again, 8 teams, 10-week regular seasons. As the sick pups that we are, of course, covering the UFL with projections, ownership projections, top plays, depth charts, a lot more. Check that out in the UFL tab. Also, still ton of action on Underdog. Right now, 2024 NFL best ball rankings are up and continuously updating. Can upload those directly to Underdog. Also, majors only PGA. If you're a golf sub, daily NBA snake drafts, and a lot more. If you've never tried Underdog, promo code ETR for a matching deposit bonus of $100. That's promo code ETR at underdogfantasy.com. All right, let's get into it here. Ranking the top 17 wide receivers in the 2024 NFL draft class. You may think 17 is a weird number. We cut it off there in an attempt to keep it to guys we think will go in roughly the first three rounds of the draft later this month. All right, number 17 on Mike Renner's big board among wide receivers is Xavier Leggett, South Carolina, 6'1", 221, ran a 4.39. Now, this is very low compared to market on Leggett. Renner, talk to the people about why it seems you're lower than consensus on Xavier Leggett.
Yeah, there's a few reasons. One, I'll just say, like, this wide receiver 17, I still have like a third round grade on him. So that tells you how loaded this wide receiver class is. Like, there's things to like about all these guys. And with Leggett, the explosiveness, the body type at, you know, 6'1", 220, run after catchability, top end speed, hard to, you know, deal with a guy that big on the outsides for undersized corners. So kind of a mismatch in a number of ways. And he's very good at the catch point. But I worry about, you know, a lot of times late career breakout guys, why do you worry about them? It's because they needed kind of the physical dominance at the collegiate level to be effective. And I see that a lot in this tape. Like, he needs to overpower, outclass guys athletically to win more often than not. And I don't see a nuanced route runner. And I see a guy who really struggles to turn on inbreakers, outbreakers, that sort of thing, that I just see him as a limited guy. Comps for him have kind of been all over the board. Everyone wants to say either AJ Brown or DK Metcalf, because those are the preeminent big wide receivers in the NFL. To me, he's like AJ Brown's body, but DK Metcalf's skill set. You know, he is a pure vertical route tree kind of guy, whether it's goes, posts, slants, kind of one cut routes he excels at. But I don't see him running the full route tree like AJ Brown does. So my comp for him is David Moore, who's, you know, a mid-tier wide receiver, probably lower than mid-tier wide receiver. But I just think the high-end comps that have been bandied out there are just a little too much for me for what his skill set brings to the table. I just see a guy who's kind of going to be limited in what he has to do at the NFL level.
And David Moore was a seventh-round pick. So yeah. That's not too promising of a comparison. On his profile, on Leggett's profile, it stood out to me that he's like a legit, pretty good kick returner. And we've seen over and over over the course of time, wide receivers that are good with the ball in their hands, that are used on returns, have success in the pros. But Yeah, I don't know. Interesting prospect, but, you know, like, David Moore is not the best comparison or most promising comparison.
I think a wide range of outcomes here, right? Like, to Renner's point, Xavier Leggett didn't even play at South Carolina for like 3 or 4 years. And if you're going to be a first round or second round pick in the NFL, I mean, you should be smashing your competition to get on the field at the college level. And he didn't do that. He does have this outrageous athleticism. So you could see some in the big athleticism, you can see some high end stuff coming through. But yeah, I like being a little bit low here. Some flags on Mr. Leggett's profile. Number 16 on Renner's big board among wide receivers is Roman Wilson out of Michigan, 5'11", 185, ran 4.39 at the combine. I think this is also relatively low compared to market on Mr. Wilson. Renner, go ahead on the guy who helped win the national championship for the Wolverines.
So again, let me just say, so from here, I think I had a third rounder on Leggett. This is the tier now from like player 9 on my board to player 16 are to me interchangeable based off of what you want. Like there's a, to just like tease it, I have Troy Franklin at wide receiver 9. There is depending on what you need for your roster, there's a world in which I would draft Roman Wilson over Troy Franklin for my roster. You know, like that's how interchangeable this group is. This tier of wide receivers, I all have either mid to late second round grades on and all have real reasons to get excited about them. So I struggle to say I'm lower on Roman Wilson. I just really like a lot of these guys. And to me, the reason why I'd say I'm lower on Roman Wilson than others is just because of his high end potential. You know, at his size, 5'10", 5'11-ish range with only a 6-foot wingspan, so limited ability to make plays outside his frame, 185 pounds. I think he's going to be a slot receiver at the next level, or at least a guy who's going to have to spend a majority of his time in the slot. And for a slot wide receiver, he's not that good after the catch. Like he doesn't have great broken tackle numbers. He's not particularly dynamic with the ball in his hands. He's kind of a catch it, get down, chain mover type of slot. So that's an interesting sort of profile to begin with. But the 4.39 speed shows up on tape. Really easy acceleration, really physical for a smaller wide receiver in that, you know, a lot of speed wide receivers, you worry about they run 4.39 at the combine, but do they run a 4.39 with the cornerback's hand on them? With Roman Wilson, that really was never an issue with me. And you saw it at the Senior Bowl where he was so effective in the one-on-ones. So a lot to like about his game for sure. And that's, again, why I still like 16th on the board, but still a second round grade on this guy. But I do just worry another late breakout guy, another somewhat unproductive guy over the course of his college career at Michigan. And then just with that limited frame and catch radius, I just worry about how high a ceiling could push. But I give him a comp of Jaden Reed, who I had somewhat similar concerns about. And obviously he's been super effective. I don't think he's ever going to be a number one type of wide receiver in the NFL, but he can be a really high-end complimentary number two who still goes for over 1,000 yards. So I see that potential in Roman Wilson's game as well.
His numbers do not stand out like from a receiving standpoint, but that also has to be, you know, a function of that offense that they ran under Jim Harbaugh. Can he be like a vertical slot receiver, like a T.Y. Hilton maybe? Because obviously he can absolutely run, like, but not just be like a possession slot.
100%. I think that's when I was most impressed with him, is when he kind of, because I think with his route running ability, he's not particularly, you know, he's not like a Julian Edelman slot where he can just run whip routes until the cows come home and get open on those all day. He was at his best when he changed up his speed and kind of, you know, had slow releases off the line and then turned on the jets, and he could blow past, you know, because in the slot you're matched up against probably usually slower corners, usually safeties or linebackers. He can blow past all those guys.
Yeah. Career high for Roman Wilson, who did play in Michigan for 4 years, was only 48 catches. And again, you need to put that in context of the offense that they were running, as Evan mentioned. But yeah, if you just look at the production profile, not great on Roman Wilson. 15 overall among wide receivers on Renner's big board is Jalen Polk out of Washington, 6'1", 203, ran a 4.52. I've seen him mocked as a day two pick pretty consistently here. Renner, what are your thoughts on the other wide receiver out of University of Washington?
To me, he's kind of just like a bigger version of Roman Wilson, or like more the possession version of Roman Wilson, that really high floor. I mean, I love his route running ability. I love his savvy. I love his play strength, catch radius, hands, you know, all that. Just not particularly dynamic. You know, he's not a guy who's you're ever going to wow on tape in terms of just either his deep ability, in terms of his dynamism after the catch, it's just kind of lacking. And, you know, the 4.52 and the testing numbers were, those are fine for a bigger wide receiver, but they're not really going to, you know, push you up into the first round sort of range. But I just think he's a guy who's going to, the comp room is Tyler Boyd. And so if you think about Tyler Boyd in the Cincinnati offense and just his time there, he was super productive, but I don't think he was ever a guy that really, if you said, you know, obviously they don't have Tyler Boyd this year, I don't think anyone's going to be predicting this Bengals offense to miss him too much. So that's kind of how I see Jalen Polk, is that, you know, he's much better than you would want from a, you know, than you could possibly do from a number two, number three type of wide receiver. But I don't think he's ever going to be a true number one. I don't think he's ever going to be a feature focal point to an offense, but a guy who can still produce nonetheless if he goes to the right spot.
The Washington offense was like super vertical, one of the most vertical in the nation, maybe the most vertical in the nation. Can you talk just a little bit about the differences between like the Washington offense and like the Michigan offense?
I loved watching the Washington offense and what Kalen DeBoer did there, because it's super, it was very much like an NFL downfield passing offense in the formational usage. You know, Polk was used outside, inside, point man, off the line of scrimmage. All those guys moved around, and they had routes a lot of times out of trips that interplayed with each other in terms of running, you know, corners, running posts that are a little more nuanced than just your lineup on the outside, run straight up and run the post. It was kind of like differing releases. So you got to see the full NFL skill set from those guys, which is why you feel so good about him, which is why you feel so good about Rome Odunze projecting to the NFL. So compared to the Michigan offense, where you throw on Roman Wilson's tape and you're seeing a lot of over routes, you're seeing a lot of pure out routes from the, you're pure just like speed outs from the slot, out and ups, not a lot of nuanced stuff. Not to say Roman Wilson can't, he obviously did that down at the Senior Bowl when he was running the one-on-ones, but just he doesn't have the experience that someone like Polk does right out the game.
All right, let's go to wide receiver 14 on the board, which is Malachi Corley out of Western Kentucky. It was listed 5'11", 210. I mean, that is very thick for a 5'11 guy. Caught 101 balls as a junior, did Malachi Corley. Renner, thoughts on him?
Yeah, he's, everyone's been saying the Deebo Samuel comp, and I don't think it's unwarranted. I don't see quite the same amount of change of direction ability that Deebo has that makes him so special. And obviously Deebo, you know, he's listed at 215. The guy looks like he's like 225. You know, he's much stronger than that. Where Corley plays strong. He plays a physical game. That's how he gets open. He doesn't have that pure, easy separation ability underneath that Deebo did. So it's a little high-end comp, but the build is unique for the running back position. The thing that I think makes Corley special and why I like him still to produce at the NFL level, even if he's probably more of a slot only, is he has some speed off the line of scrimmage. I think he ran in the 4.4s at his pro day. And you see it every time on tape when he off the line of scrimmage, he is the first guy to hit 5 yards down the football field consistently. Now it's, you know, Western Kentucky, not necessarily other guys on his team that are anything special athletically, but I think even at the Senior Bowl that stood out. And so a guy who wants to play physical, who has the size to do it and has that kind of explosiveness, has the broken tackle numbers. Back in 2022, I think he broke 40 tackles after the catch per PFF. So a lot of it's there to be a guy that's featured, you know, in the offense as a slot receiver. And I think at the Senior Bowl, he showed me a little bit to say that he doesn't necessarily have to be just a slot. You know, he has a bigger wingspan for a shorter wide receiver. I believe a 6'3" wingspan, which, you know, matters at that position, how much you can make plays outside your frame. So really a lot to like about this guy. It's just didn't see him on a full route tree at Western Kentucky. Level of competition was a bit of concern as well.
Yeah. It always concerns me, Evan, when people are like, oh, he's going to be the next Deebo, because what Deebo does after the catch and breaking tackles is like outlier. Impossible. No one else can do that. So that always scares me on the Deebo comps. But yeah, go ahead if you have anything on Corley, Evan.
Just the fact that the Deebo comp is tough because he did, Malachi Corley did nothing on returns, and he only had 15 career rushing attempts. He did have 16 career rushing attempts. He did have 3 big years from a receiving standpoint. I'm guessing that comparison just strictly comes from tackle breaking ability.
Body type and tackle breaking.
Body type and tackle breaking ability.
All right. Let's go to wide receiver 13, Malik Washington out of the University of Virginia, 5'9", 191, ran a 4.47, did lead all wide receivers who participated in the combine in the vertical jump. So certainly an athlete is Malik Washington. Renner, what are your thoughts on him?
Yeah, he's kind of, you know, like Malachi Corley, same build, but just like more compact. You know, he's maybe short, but he is not small by any means. Was awesome after the catch in terms of, you know, when he's got a corner trying to tackle him, he was winning that matchup consistently. You see the vertical jump. He has a great catch radius for a smaller wide receiver. I think he actually has a bigger wingspan than even someone like Roman Wilson this year coming out. So he's maybe short, but it's not impacting how the plays he can make outside his frame. And truly, he has some of the best hands in this draft class as well. Is super reliable in that regard. Fights at the catch point. A guy that will go over the middle of the field, take shots, and get back up and, you know, play the next play. Now, I don't think he's the most polished route runner. Now, in that Virginia offense, he also wasn't running a ton of routes. He was featured a lot, but it's a lot of hitches, a lot of, you know, zone beating routes where he's just finding space, getting the ball, and then working it after the catch. So a lot to like from the athlete perspective, from the production perspective. I do wonder just what his role is going to be a little bit at the next level, because not, you know, I think he is slot only at that size, where I could see Corley, Roman Wilson maybe playing a little bit more on the outside and doing certain things. I'm not sure Washington's ever going to be that, but I love the ability to work the middle of the field at his size and the ball skill. So the comp I had for him was Deion Branch, a guy who did a lot of that for the Patriots back in the day.
To be clear, Renner is significantly higher than market on Malik Washington. On the consensus big board stuff, Malik Washington is down around pick 98. And it sounds like Renner's a little bit higher on him than that. Evan, any thoughts on Mr. Washington?
His numbers from the combine are pretty sick. I mean, a 42.5-inch vertical, ran 4.47. I don't know. He's an interesting guy that I have yet to watch, but 110 catches. We played at Northwestern. He goes to Virginia, 110 catches. Really interesting prospect.
Yeah. And by the way, on the prospect profiles on all these guys, we have to be aware that almost all these guys, or I think all these guys, played through the pandemic year, right? Which different programs handled it differently. Different guys were changing schools all the time. Different guys had different practice schedules. So yeah, definitely some context needed around some of these prospect profiles. Number 12, Jermaine Burton out of Alabama. Started at Georgia, but out of Alabama, 6'0", 6 feet tall, 196, ran a 4.45. Now, Jermaine Burton only caught 105 balls over his final three seasons, but my God, 20 touchdowns on those 105 balls. That stuff scares me when a lot of your profile is tied towards touchdown production, but maybe that's just a bit fluky. Renner, what do you think about Mr. Burton?
Yeah, and he was starting, maybe not starting, but he saw real time as a true freshman on that 2020 Georgia team. I believe that was a house way back when. And he's got some of the best deep ball tracking in this draft class. So he may not have had super great production this past year at Alabama, but I think he averaged somewhere in the neighborhood of 20 yards per catch. He was a true vertical threat. And I hated flipping on his tape because they had him running clear outs, post. They didn't have him running full route tree, really, because he was that guy for the team. He was the best in that regard. But when he did, I was really surprised. So I went in thinking, you know, seeing the production numbers, seeing basically his usage, and just thinking this guy's just a pure deep threat. And I think he can be a lot more than that. It was just a function of what Alabama had offensively, and especially at the quarterback position with Jalen Milroe, where they couldn't run a quick passing offense. That wasn't what he was good at. So they ran a lot of deep concepts and they had him do a lot of clear outs and a lot of vertical routes. And I don't think he's exceptional on that. There's a lot better vertical threats in this draft class, but not a lot of guys have his level of ball skills, level of body control to consistently haul in passes outside their frame. Just be that guy that can build rapport with the quarterback really early on in his NFL career. So I think there's a lot more meat on the bone for a guy like Jermaine Burton than we saw at the collegiate level. My comp for him was Kenny Stills, because you have that high end juice to work down the football field, but then also could be a little bit more than that at the intermediate range as well.
19.1 yards per catch in his final year at Georgia, 20.5 yards per catch in his final season at Alabama. I love that Kenny Stills comparison.
All right, let's go to, let's go to number 11 is Javon Baker out of UCF, 6'1", 202. Now, Javon Baker was an Alabama recruit, started at Alabama in 2020, only caught 9 balls his first 2 years, transfers to UCF, and is very productive, especially as a senior. We talk about Jermaine Burton yards per catch. Javon Baker as a senior is up at 21.9 yards per catch at Central Florida. Renner, thoughts on Javon Baker, again, a former Alabama recruit who finished up at UCF.
I think this is the most talented guy we've talked about yet in terms of just like all around ability. He is unbelievable at the line of scrimmage, super loose lower half. I mean, you saw him at the Senior Bowl just get off of press coverage at will with just the suddenness and explosiveness off the line. Can just really sky, can go up and get it, has a big wingspan, 6'6" wingspan for a just over 6 foot wide receiver, and really makes plays outside his frame consistently. Great after the catch. It just has that like sort of shake at the top of the route that you really can't coach. Now, he's a little loose as a route runner, not as precise as a lot of other guys in this class. I think his long speed's a little lacking. So a lot of his vertical wins are going to have to be kind of at the catch point. When he gets a step on a guy, a lot of corners can make that up, especially at the NFL level. So maybe more of like an underneath intermediate guy. Even if his, you know, yards per catch numbers were great in college, I think it's still a part of his game, but not necessarily going to be his whole game. So the comp I had for him was Victor Cruz. I think like a Rashee Rice isn't a bad comp either from a skill set perspective, where he can win with the ball in his hands. He can win as a route runner. He can win at the catch point. He can do a lot of different things for you in an offense. I don't think he's a master of anything right now. And so his development's going to be key, but man, I really liked what I saw from him on tape at UCF and then what he did at the Senior Bowl.
Yeah, and only 4.54 speed on Mr. Baker here. And I think that's part of the reason that he's being mocked or his big board is so low. We're talking about 96 overall. So another guy that Renner, I think, is higher on than consensus here in Javon Baker.
I was going to say the two comparisons that you had for him, those guys both spent a lot of time in a slot in the NFL. It kind of scares me when guys are like win downfield in college, and then they go to the combine and they don't test particularly well. You know, like, is that downfield winning ability going to translate? Do you think he might end up in the slot?
I think he has the ability to, I don't think he's going to ever be a full-time outside guy, but I think he can win there still because he does well enough. Like he has good acceleration. Even if his top speed's not great, he accelerates really well. So, you know, on certain routes, whether it's like, you know, hitch and go, stop go, sort of like those sort of things, he can still get by guys because he accelerates well enough.
All right. We are into the top 10 now, and this is where I think it starts to get really interesting. We'll start with Renner's wide receiver 10, Keon Coleman out of Florida State, 6'3", 213. Now, I was going to say Renner's lower than market on Keon Coleman, but that's not the case anymore because everybody seems to be getting low on Keon Coleman. I mean, we're not even close to the draft yet. We're still, what, 3 or 4 weeks out? And this guy's already sliding a ton. I've seen like no one relatively that actually likes Keon Coleman, especially when like this process first started. I tweeted something about Brian Thomas being a first round pick and people were like, oh, Brian Thomas can't hold Keon Coleman's jock. You know, what are you talking about? And I was like, listen, man, I don't follow this stuff that close, but it seems to me that the athletic profile for Brian Thomas is so much better. We'll get to him in a second. Anyway, 6'3", 213. And also, I wanted to note, when we're talking about Florida State stuff, Johnny Wilson, Renner has listed as a tight end, which is controversial. I know it's controversial, but we'll talk about Johnny Wilson when we get to tight ends. But anyways, Renner, do you think this slide, perceived slide, at least on Keon Coleman, is warranted? And what do you think about his NFL outlook?
I do think it is because, you know, the things we were just, what you just asked me about having to move to the slot, I think is real with Coleman. I don't think he can win vertically on the outside in the NFL enough to keep him there. So I think he's a guy who's going to have to make his money from the slot. I'll just throw the comp I had off the top here. Michael Thomas, the Saints wide receiver, is similar sort of game where the vertical ability is just limited and the vertical plays are going to have to be like catch point wins. And he's awesome at the catch point, though. I do think in terms of pure anyone I'd want in a, let's say, a fade situation at the goal line. Now, obviously, that's not like a great way to evaluate receivers, but it would be him. I think he is the best sort of catch point wide receiver in this draft class. Amazing ball skills. So that is a great aspect to his game. I think he also has unique sort of understanding of the position. Like, I think he has a really high floor, even as a slot wide receiver. And it wouldn't surprise me if right out the gate, if he goes to the right spot, if he's like a 1,000-yard receiver right away, because he is very natural in his receiving ability. He understands the position. He understands how to get open, whether it's with his using his size, whether it's being able to kind of stop and turn his hips on a dime. Like, he has that ability. It's just, he's not particularly explosive and he does not particularly fast. But again, if he goes to a role where it's running him on a lot of slants, where it's running him on a lot of hitches, where he's basically kind of almost acting like a tight end in his usage, I think he can be very effective, because he's still exceptional in that regard. So limited dude in the role he's going to have to play, but in that limited role, I think he's fantastic. So that's why I think the Michael Thomas, if Michael Thomas goes to anywhere besides New Orleans, I think his career goes vastly differently.
Yeah.
But if Keon Coleman goes to the right spot, I think he could be awesome.
Yeah. I've seen some people suggesting he goes to the Bengals in the second round as like a T. Higgins eventual replacement, which could be interesting.
I was thinking Tyler Boyd replacement there.
Tyler Boyd replacement. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. I mean, he ran 4.61 and his college production did not really stand out other than the touchdowns. So it's not surprising to me that, and every podcast that I listen to is like, oh, he's overrated, always overrated. I mean, at some point when everybody says you're overrated, are you really overrated anymore?
One more thing to note that I think is unique about him. So he's 6'4", 215. He returned punts for Florida State, which, speaks to, I think, just how easily he moves. Even if he's not fast, he's still fluid. And so you don't have a lot of 6'4" guys returning punts. Unless they have some goods in that.
Yeah, 12-yard average on punt returns and never scored a touchdown. So that, that kind of signifies that he had like a lot of like really productive returns.
Yeah. I don't think you have to be like straight line speedster when you're 6'3", 6'4", or whatever, but you do need to be able to, of course, get open. That was Michael Thomas, get open, get 1 yard open and have Drew Brees hit him on the quick slant there. All right. Number 9. Troy Franklin out of Oregon, 6'2", 176. Let me repeat that, 6'2", 176, ran a 4.41. Now, I do think the NFL, given the way the rules have changed, given the way the game has changed, how it's so much more spread now, and the success of guys like Devonta Smith, you can make a better case now for guys who are 6'2", 170-something than you could before. Troy Franklin, 81, 1383. 14 touchdowns in 13 games for Oregon last year. I know a lot of people are excited about this kid. Renner, what do you think about Troy Franklin?
I think Franklin, to me, is one of the hardest evals in this wide receiver class, just because the athlete is exceptional. You see his high-end plays and you're like, that's a first-round wide receiver. He's explosive. He's light on his feet for a guy who's on the taller side. He has speed to run by guys. And he's pretty good after the catch as well. He can actually break tackles. You see him, kind of shrug guys off at times that you don't expect for, 176-pound wide receiver, probably the skinniest wide receiver in this draft class. And he's only 21 years old, just turned 21 years old. So he'll be 21 his entire rookie season, super productive. But I don't see kind of the route running feel that I do of other guys in this draft class. He doesn't set up defenders as well. It's almost, I think he has the potential in physically to get to that ability. Like, you see the ability to stop at that size, that's unique. You see the ability to shake guys at that size, that's unique, but you just don't see that consistently employed in his route running ability. So again, still young, so that can develop, but skinny with that aspect to his profile as well, that's kind of worrisome. And again, I just don't know what to do with him. I have him here because I think his ceiling could be like a number one type of wide receiver at the NFL level. If he gets a little stronger, if he gets that aspect to his game, he's a guy that you could feature in the offense because I think he has three level ability to win. But it's just, I wish he would have, in this super deep wide receiver class, I honestly wish he would have come back to school one more year. I think he could have played his way into like a top 15, top 20 pick. But as it stands, I think he's going to be like a second rounder. And my comp for him was a guy like Bernard Berrian, who was, back in the mid 2000s. Bears, Vikings, was an awesome deep threat, big play guy, probably never considered like a number one featured guy in an offense. So that's
another really light guy too. Berrian was real light.
Yeah. I mean, most of the mocks right now suggesting Franklin will go like somewhere in the late round one, early round two ish range there. All right. A controversial one. I think almost everyone or most people have Troy Franklin ahead of Ricky Pearsall out of Florida. wide receiver 8 on Renner's board is indeed Ricky Pearsall out of Florida, 6'1", 189, 4'4", 42-inch vertical for this kid, second among all wide receivers at the combine. I did notice that Daniel Jeremiah was higher on Pearsall than consensus, as is Renner, I believe, here. What do you, can you tell the people about Mr. Pearsall?
Yeah, this is so, I think the previous, like, what was it, 7 guys we talked about, I see as all like mid second rounders. That's kind of like the where I feel good about him. This is more like top of the second round. I think I would draft Pearsall in that range. He is, I mean, the testing numbers, they show up on the football field. And he also ran like a 6'6 something 3 cone. That's just, he's so gifted athletically and polished as well. It's not just that he's a freak athlete. It's that this guy has route running chops. If you, the one aspect to his game that I don't like is he struggles versus strength. And so if he gets pressed, he can get taken out of routes. If he gets bumped by linebackers, it can affect him. But you give him free releases or, you know, the ability to work against off zone coverage, he's so good at manipulating defenders. He's got amazing hands. We all saw the catch against, what was it, UAB last year, the one hander over the middle of the field. It's just, that's every, like, he hauls in everything. There are just very few even concentration drops on his tape. So maybe not the best length. He doesn't have a massive wingspan, but if it's catchable, he will catch it. And yeah, he's just such a good route runner. I just think he's going to get open at will, all three levels. Again, if he gets a free release, that's so the comp for him I have is Calvin Ridley, a guy who's kind of in that mold of just pure separation route runner, can count on him to be where he needs to be, can maybe beat him up a little bit, but still a guy that can go for, you know, over 1,000 yards consistently.
Yo, our buddy Lance Zierlein compared him to Alex Erickson. And that's just
unfavorable.
It's a little just there. Mean. I mean, what the heck?
That's not fair. I'm looking at the relative athletic score right now. Ricky Pearsall is third in this entire class behind only Adonai Mitchell and Roma Dunze. So, yeah, he was way more athletic than Alex Erickson.
One thing that is like mean. one thing that stood out to me is that Pearsall is going to be 24 his rookie season, whereas Troy Franklin, as you mentioned, is going to be 21. That's like a big difference.
Definitely.
Yeah, there's a number of unique class in that there's a lot of older guys who I think are still legit prospects, but not once we get towards the first round.
Yeah, those guys. Well, and again, I mentioned the pandemic stuff. You know, some of these guys, mm-hmm. you know, that's a reason that they stayed, or one of the reasons that they stayed or transferred or whatever. Okay. Now it starts to get real interesting. Wide receiver 7, Xavier Worthy out of Texas. Everybody knows Xavier Worthy now because he broke the record at the NFL Combine for the 40-yard dash, ran a 4.21, breaking John Ross's record of 4.22 set back in 2017. Now, normally, I would say, listen, guy's 165 pounds. You know, can't win at the NFL at 165 pounds. I don't say that stuff anymore because of how much the game has changed. Tank Dell going absolutely nuts. Devonta Smith. I know Tyreek Hill's a little bit thicker around 180, but he's, of course, been dominating the league for a long time. The way the rules are set up now and the way that offenses are set up now, I do think guys that are 165 pounds can win. Now, if you have Tank Dell, please don't ask him to block at the goal line interior so he can break his leg. But anyways, I digress. How much does the 165 scare you? And do you think that this guy is just speed in Xavier Worthy, or is he actually going to be a polished NFL wide receiver?
It definitely scares me. And not only just from a production standpoint, but what we saw with Tank Dell, injuries. You know, when you're that size, you're getting hit by a lot bigger dudes at the NFL level. Like that still matters. So I do worry about that. But to me, his speed versus, you know, why do a lot of guys who run 4.3 or lower, why do they fail? It's because they can't control their speed and stop. And change directions. It's they just run like track athletes. And it's a completely different running style when you're running for track versus when you're running on a football field. You have to be able to, you know, on track, you don't have to stop. Those guys, you know, 5 yards after the finish line, they're still breezing and can't stop literally. So with Xavier Worthy, I saw an ability to control that speed that was unique, especially when he was running like outbreakers. He can really sink and get back to, you know, get back laterally, get back to the football, that a lot of guys who have that speed can't. And you saw him win on like whip routes at the goal line, things like that, that you know, you're not asking your true vertical speed guys to run whip routes more often than not. That's not, just not where they win. But with Worthy, I thought he could be that guy in an offense. And again, you're going to have to protect him with free releases. You're not going to, it's going to have to be a role basically carved out for him. But 4-2-1 speed, with how much teams are able to take advantage of that speed now at the NFL level with how they're using motion. And you even saw that Texas offense used him in that regard a lot. I think he can be such a weapon. Tracks the ball well, good hands. A guy who produced, almost went for 1,000 yards as a true freshman back at Texas. I have him as a first rounder. I don't know what there is necessarily not to like outside of just that size element. And obviously it's concerning, but I think we've seen in recent years how less concerning it's been. So I have Will Fuller as a comp because not only, you know, Fuller had a little bit more to his game than just pure speed when he was obviously playing football, which was seems like so long ago now. But I do think Xavier Worthy can be a guy who not only wins on just your go balls, but also wins at intermediate level just because that speed is such a threat at the next level.
We loved Will Fuller at ETR back in the day. And where are you, Will? Where are you? But Xavier Worthy, super early breakout, as you mentioned, was great as a freshman, sick on returns, 14.1 career yards per punt return. And I was in Indy for the combine, and when he ran that 40, that was the talk of the city for sure. And then I watched him when I was in Indy, and I was like, yeah, this shows up on his tape for sure.
I'm shocked that he's not a consensus first round pick. Like right now, everybody is mocking him to the Chiefs at 32 overall. I'm not sure he makes it that far. I think his profile and speed always rises late. There was DraftKings put out their odds to go in the first round, and Worthy was -115 to go in the first round. I thought that was pretty decent. We'll have a draft prop show coming up next week.
I think that the big knock on him is that he's a body catcher. What do you think about that knock, Mike Renner? So was Jerry Rice, by the way.
So yeah, he's not like the most natural hands, but I think he tracks the ball well. It's not like, you know, a lot of times you see a guy, you know, attacking the ball over the shoulders, how I judge a lot of deep threats in terms of how they can actually catch the football. And I never really saw that be an issue on his tape. So maybe never going to be, you know, elite hands, but you're not featuring him in a way that's going to show up.
All right. Really excited to see where Xavier Worthy lands. Of course, if he does end up going where he's being mocked, again, 32 to the Chiefs, people are going to lose their minds. I mean, it's going to be like brain bust on fantasy Twitter if Xavier Worthy goes 32 overall to the Chiefs. Sixth on Renner's wide receiver big board is a guy, I mentioned Keon Coleman as a guy that's been sliding. Ladd McConkey out of Georgia has been rising. I mean, everybody is talking about how much they like this kid. 6 foot flat, 186, ran a 4.39. Wasn't that productive in college, but was dealing with back and ankle issues. Why do you think this guy's rising so fast up everybody's board, Renner, and what do you think of him?
I guess people are flipping on the tape. And obviously the combine, he goes 4.39. Like people are seeing the tools as well, but his play at the Senior Bowl was unguardable. To me, he's not only fast, but he is as shifty and as stop start as anyone in this draft class. Like it, to me, the movement skills are tailor-made to win at the NFL. I think he has a really high floor, and his route running ability is just like textbook. I think he's a guy that can hit the ground running in the NFL and go for like 1,000 yards year one. He's just that good. And the injuries are the biggest worry with me. Had him numerous kind of like hampering injuries, and he's a smaller frame dude. But when he was on the football field this past year, insanely productive. I think his yards per route run was still like top 10 in the nation, even if he just didn't play that much, unfortunately, with the injury. So you saw it against the best competition too. Like he's clowning top picks at corner consistently. Great hands and body control. There was a time to just, you saw it. I remember down the Senior Bowl and warmups, just the way he caught the ball and like fades and kept his feet in. It was just second nature to him. There was no to tap his toes when he was near the sideline to, you know, basically do what it took to get those feet down. And that's just, the guy's such a natural receiver that he's just good, man. There's just a really high floor guy with not a lot of weaknesses to his game besides purely doesn't have the ideal frame.
Another guy that broke out at the Senior Bowl or generated a ton of buzz at the Senior Bowl was Cooper Kupp. And I've seen some people compare Cooper Kupp, or Ladd McConkey to Cooper Kupp. But Ladd McConkey ran 4.39. Cooper Kupp ran 4.62. So I don't know. What do you think of that comparison?
I've hated that comparison. I've hated pretty much every white guy comparison that they've given to him because, again, not a lot of white guys have 4.39 speed, right? They don't got what he has. So you're comparing him to slot receivers. And to me, McConkey's not. His most impressive reps were on the outside more often than not. So the comp I have for him is actually Emmanuel Sanders. I think anyone in that kind of like smaller-ish wide receiver, but that can still win on the outside, is something I see in Ladd McConkey.
Yeah. Kind of the have a big tier here, right? So after the top four, which we'll get to in a second here, but it seems like everyone has these guys in a similar tier. Mitchell, Worthy, McConkey, Franklin, Coleman. Seems like everybody has those guys in that tier. So it'll be very interesting to see where those guys go. Let's go to number five on Renner's wide receiver big board. Brian Thomas out of LSU. 6'3", 209, and ran a 4.33. Let me repeat that. 6'3", 209, and ran a 4.33. To me, that was more impressive than Xavier Worthy's 4.21. And I know people are already getting all over me about that. To run 4.33 at 209 pounds and 6'3" is just so impressive. Insane size, speed, explosion combo. Was not that productive in terms of earning targets and making catches in his career. Only 68 catches last season, but scored 17 touchdowns. I think the question everybody's asking about Brian Thomas, we understand he was playing with Malik Nabers, but why didn't he earn more targets on a per route basis in his career if he's such an outrageous athlete? Renner, what do you think about that? I think some people will raise eyebrows that you do have a Donnie Mitchell ahead of Brian Thomas on your big board.
You know, to me, Thomas is, he's the biggest boomer bust wide receiver in this class, in my opinion. He has unbelievable physical gifts. And you mentioned the 40, his actual, so the flying 20, his last 20 yards were faster than Xavier Worthy's. And on tape, when he gets behind a guy, he's one of the fastest wide receivers I've ever seen in terms of just like top end speed. It truly is unbelievable. If he gets you at the line of scrimmage, you're not catching him. And for a guy that size, that's unique. And that's how he got 17 touchdowns. It's all basically just him behind a DB and just cruising. You know, he has truly impressive physical gifts. And for a guy who has that kind of speed, he's got a little shake to him too. Like he's not bad at the line of scrimmage. And you know, he can, and if he gets again, just one, it gets you to whiff a little bit, he stacks receivers immediately at the line of scrimmage because the explosiveness is just off the charts for a guy that size. So the vertical threat ability is amazing. But outside of that, I do have concerns. Like he is not the most consistent hands catcher. He is not great at the catch point that you would want to be for a guy that size. And his route running chops are, is probably why he didn't see the football field his first 2 years at LSU that much. And why he wasn't featured really in that offense. His route, his targets are basically, you know, a lot of either second reaction stuff or a lot of go balls on his tape. So that's where he's going to have to win, and the rest is going to have to come along. But I think he is a kind of athlete that can. He's not necessarily limited, like I'd say, like a Tyquan Thornton was, who was a similarly elite top-end speed guy, but I just didn't see the ability ever to, like, develop in the rest of the route tree. I see that there's some ability there, but he is just lacks nuance in the full route tree, lacks sort of the ability to set up guys with either head fakes, with body fakes, using his size to his advantage. I still worry about those things. So definitely more of a project than any of these first round receivers we're talking about. But my Lord, what he brings to the table physically is truly special. So I went with Terry McLaurin as a comp. Now McLaurin came out as a fifth year guy, so had more time to develop in college before he hit the NFL. I wish we could have seen that from Thomas, but obviously, he's going to be a first rounder, comes out, maybe a guy who starts slower in his career than some of the other first rounders.
I was listening to Ben Gretsch talk about Brian Thomas, and he was highlighting that so much of his production came on just bombs. He had like all these touchdowns of 70 plus yards. At the NFL level, scoring a 70 plus yard touchdown is really, 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 really freaking hard, right? Mm-hmm. And so he's going to have to add more to his game to that. I could see him as a candidate to be overdrafted in both real life and rookie drafts based on a lot of the stuff that Renner said, but I think the top end is also really exciting too. So yeah, like Renner said, boomer bust, I think is a good way to describe it.
Yeah, I think that the reason that he didn't earn targets like Malik Nabers did was because Malik Nabers is that like high percentage, dynamic playmaker, and Brian Thomas is like strictly a perimeter receiver, sort of on the Could it be DK Metcalf, or might it be Marquez Valdes-Scantling?
Yeah, I mean, I think ideally that's his, that's going to be his role. And I think he could be a DK Metcalf in time. Like, I again, he's at that caliber of athlete. And I think that's what it takes, right, to run such a specified go balls, comebacks, slants. It's kind of like DK's route tree. I think he's good enough to do that. So it's going to take someone to, like, allow him that sort of freedom to run kind of basically what he's good at.
All right. Let's get to, I guess, maybe controversial. I don't know. Fourth overall ahead of Brian Thomas on Renner's big board is Adonai Mitchell out of Texas, 6'1", 235, the leader in this class and one of the best relative athletic scores of all time, ahead of Rome Odunze, ahead of Pearsall, as I said. Adonai Mitchell, 9.99 relative athletic score here. Again, Xavier Worthy's teammate at Texas. Definitely a chance both these guys go in round one. Renner, what do you think about Adonai? And are you surprised, I guess, that it's not consensus that Adonai's ahead of Brian Thomas and Worthy and McConkey and these guys?
I think I am. I think I am at this point after we saw his testing, because the guy is a freak show, and it is on tape. You see it. And in to me, he's like too athletic to fail. I cannot fathom this guy not working out at the NFL level. The biggest, honestly, the biggest reason, the biggest worry with him is he almost like hit the nail on the combine, hit nail on the head of the combine when he said, I don't run routes at full speed, which is an insane thing to say at the combine, just like admit in the public that he didn't run routes at full speed. He's like, I wanted to play full drive, so I didn't run routes at full speed. And it's like, okay, that's not going to fly at the NFL level, right? Like, we need you to be running routes at full speed here. But when he does, he did more impressive things to top end corners, whether it was like the Alabama duo, other guys he faced on his tape, that was just like, I could not believe what I was seeing in terms of his explosiveness off the line of scrimmage, his like shake at the top of routes, his ability to sink his hips and turn is, I mean, it looks like the truly elite guys at the NFL level. He is as physically gifted as you'll see. He's right up there with Malik Nabers and Marvin Harris Jr., in my opinion, in terms of like pure athlete. But the effort and consistency is kind of just loose. Like, he doesn't hit his landmarks the way other guys do in this class. He kind of just freelances a lot more than you'd like on tape. And maybe they gave him that freedom to do so because he is so gifted athletically that just like it was so easy for him. But a guy that can run the full route tree, has had amazing hands and amazing body control and amazing ability to pluck it outside of his frame over his career. And that's why I think every single playoff game he played in, so he started 2 years at Georgia, last year at Texas, he scored a touchdown in. But yeah, the sort of effort and inconsistency I'm a little worried about, but truly an all-time sort of talent. And so I went with Javon Walker as his comp, a guy who was a freak athlete coming off Florida State, kind of figured it out midway through his contract with Green Bay. And I think just the high end of what he brings to the table, to me, I would take him over Thomas all day. I think he's a much better prospect. Just like, I feel better about what he's going to be at the NFL level.
Yeah. And there's a chance that Adonai Mitchell slides to the back end of the first round and lands with a really good team. Like, maybe the Bills could get Adonai Mitchell. And after the Steph Diggs trade, I mean, they could really certainly use someone like Adonai Mitchell in the back end of the first round. I don't know if he gets that far, but it's certainly possible based on where he's being mocked and on big boards right now.
And this guy seems like another true perimeter receiver, right? Yes. I mean, he's not going to work the middle of the field.
I don't think so. I think he's a true perimeter receiver, but I wouldn't put that like out of his game. Like, I think he's versatile enough to do it. He just has the movement skills to do whatever, honestly.
All right. Now we get to the three guys who everyone is saying is creating one of the best wide receiver classes of all time. Because if you look at anyone's big board, I'm talking about big board, not wide receiver. I'm talking about just positionless big board. These three guys are all in the top 10 of everyone's big board, regardless of position. We'll start with number three here for Renner, Rome Odunze out of Washington, 6'3", 212 pounds, 4.45. I mean, people just love this guy. He looks the part. He's team captain, jump balls, contested catches, insanely, insanely productive. Now, he was at Washington for a very long time. I've heard some people say that they prefer Odunze to some of these other guys, Nabers or whatever. That strikes me as a bit aggressive, but yeah, Renner, what do you think about Odunze? Would you consider it a teardrop to Neighbors and Harrison? Or do you think Odunze is in that same tier as those guys?
I wouldn't put him in the same tier just because I think that Harrison and Neighbors in their roles are special. But now it's like Harrison's like a true outside wide receiver. You're not going to move him in the slot. You're not going to throw him screens. Neighbors is like your true playmaker. Just get the ball in his hands and let him cook wide receiver. Odunze is like a nice mix. To me, he is just a ready-made number one wide receiver that doesn't need a role. He doesn't need something. He doesn't need to go to a certain offense to produce. He'll produce wherever he goes because he has size, because he has fluidity of movement, because he has route running chops. I love his efficiency in his route running. There's just no wasted movement. He's not a guy who needs to like sit at the line of scrimmage and dance for a little to get corners to miss. He just right off the line goes, gets to his landmark, hits it. He's just as precise as you can be. To me, you know, the other two guys have higher ceilings. Odunze's floor is right out there with those two, though. It just, he's going to hit the ground in the NFL. And if he goes to any semblance of a good situation, be a 1,000-yard wide receiver. I just think there's just no path to him being unsuccessful just because he looks like that guy already on tape. Like there's just trying to write down negatives for him. I came up with like, he doesn't, when he gets a step, he doesn't necessarily stride away. He doesn't have elite speed, could get a little more physical, but he does have size to get physical. It's just minor gripes. And with his, you know, the rest of his physical profile, with his production, I just think this guy, so he's sixth on my big board. I think he is truly special and truly going to be a number one at the NFL level.
And it seems like his floor at this point is number nine. Yes. To the Bears. One thing also that I've heard about this guy, and I don't know, you haven't necessarily met the guys or anything like that, Mike, but is that his intangibles and his like leadership is just like off the charts. I mean, this was the dude at the combine running doing the shuttle runs to try to get some score, even though he had already set like the fourth best shuttle time at the combine. But everyone speaks extremely highly of his character.
Yeah, I actually thought he was older than he is. I mean, he played Washington for four years, but he won't be 22 until June, it looks like. So yeah, still relatively young there for Odunze. All right. Now we get to two guys who I think everyone expects to be truly superstar wide receivers at the NFL level. Number two is Malik Neighbors out of LSU. Everyone's saying, Renner, oh, he's the next great LSU wide receiver, Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase and Odell Beckham, you know, think he can play inside, outside, ZX, whatever. Goes to pro day, did not run at the combine, goes to LSU's pro day. With a grain of salt, because it's a pro day, but 4.35 40 and 42-inch vertical at 6 foot flat, 199 for Malik Neighbors. Would you agree that this is one of the best wide receiver prospects we've seen in a long time, Mr. Renner?
Yes, 100%. There's so few, like the caliber of athlete, just in terms of like his movement skills on tape, that just, whether it's straight line speed, explosiveness, change of direction ability, stop start, you know, all the things that go into making an athlete at wide receiver. It's like, he's in like the Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle-esque tier. There's not guys 200 pounds moving the way he does. And I think that's why he gets talked about in this manner, is that you're just not going to stick with him. It's impossible. No one is that caliber of athlete. And so he's not particularly polished. He's not particularly refined, but it doesn't matter because he's getting to wherever he wants to go faster. It's just a completely different speed than anyone can keep up with. So awesome after the catch, truly like a guy who can take a screen and take it 70 yards. To me, I've said the difference between Odunze and Neighbors is like 40 yard touchdowns versus 70 yard touchdowns. Neighbors can really bring those plays that so few guys can, the game breaking field flipping plays. So now I have no great comp for him. Truly no great comp. If you're going to guys in the NFL right now, guy who moves probably the most similarly, but I still don't think has quite the gear, is Brandon Ayuk, just because he's unique at that 6 foot, 200, which just, he can be going full speed in one direction and then just plant and go the other way. And you're like, how is a guy capable of doing that? So Malik Neighbors, yeah. I mean, yeah. I've been saying since the end of the season that it just, it's going to be, he's going to be a top five pick. I still would be floored if he falls out of the top five. It would have to be because like four QBs go in the top five for him to fall out, in my opinion.
Right. From a fantasy perspective, I'm kind of most excited about Neighbors because of the versatility, right? He can win all over the field and he'll be used all over the field, short, intermediate. And like when I'm playing fantasy, especially when I'm playing cash on DraftKings or whatever, you know, these guys that if they catch less than five balls in a game, it's just like shocking, you know? And I think that's what you're going to see from Neighbors, depending on where he lands and how he's used. But yeah, I think just really, really exciting for fantasy. And Evan, one thing we were talking about is at even at the NFL level, I think it's going to end up happening, but at the NFL level, some people were talking about Neighbors going ahead of Marvin Harrison in this draft. I actually don't think that's going to happen anymore, but I don't think it's like that far out of the question. Have any thoughts on Neighbors here before we move to Harrison?
Well, I was going to ask Renner that, but one other thing I wanted to point out is that Malik Neighbors is 20 years old.
Yeah.
You know, we mentioned Ricky Pearsall is 24 or going to be 24 for the entirety of his rookie season, 20 years old for Malik Neighbors. You love that upside from a youth standpoint. I think that like there are legitimately teams, and I mean, I think that even Schefter has reported this at this point. There are legitimately teams that have Malik Neighbors ahead of Marvin Harrison. Obviously, you have Marvin Harrison number one, and we'll get to him. But what do you think about that idea that there are some teams that maybe because they're different types of receivers, that you know, Malik Neighbors could be number one on a number of teams' big boards?
Yeah, I wouldn't surprise me whatsoever. And again, it's the role you want. If you want, so Marvin Harrison is like a true outside X wide receiver. I think everyone's mocking him to Arizona because that's for sure what they need. You know, so he would make the most sense for them. But there are other teams in the top 10 that should they move up that I would rather have Malik Neighbors for. You know, if it's like the Jets wanting to move up, if it's Atlanta, I would rather have Malik Neighbors in those offenses than a Marvin Harrison Jr. because his dynamism is off the charts. And so they are 1A, 1B. It's not, there's really very little gap between them. It's more of a, which kind of flavor do you want?
All right, let's go to the flavor that even casuals are well aware of now, partly because Marvin Harrison was such a great player in the NFL. It's makes me feel quite old that we're talking about Marvin Harrison Jr. now. Out of Ohio State, 6'3", 209. No combine, kind of just standing on his tape on his reputation after racking up 144 catches, 28 receiving touchdowns over his final two seasons at Ohio State. We have seen Ohio State have some outrageously strong wide receiver prospects come out. Marvin Harrison, supposed to be, should be the best of them, it seems. What do you think about that, Renner, and anything else on Mr. Harrison here?
Hey, Harrison, I went back and watched this tape because some people have had some rankings come out in recent weeks that have been, say, not so kind to Harrison. And so I hadn't watched his tape since the season. And I went back and flipped it on. I was like, what am I missing? You know, like, what is there not to like about this dude? He is as polished a collegiate receiver as you'll ever see. I struggle to say like the most polished, but just like he's probably been learning from his dad since he was a little kid, running routes all the time. And it looks like what Marvin Harrison looked like back in the day. He runs that outside route tree, you know, when they used to be just two outside wide receivers running down the football field, snap after snap, and then in the offense, him and Reggie Wayne, and just being able to hit that landmark, stop on a dime, hit the comeback, get to the post, you know, shake the guy at the top and just stride away. And I think that's the biggest thing that gets kind of lost and not talked about with Marvin Harrison. His top speed is elite. He can absolutely fly. And so if you don't, you give up a step to him as a cornerback, he's faster. He is faster than the corners that he is having to face, even at the NFL level. So you have to give him cushion then. And then if he has cushion, he's going to eat you up underneath all day long. There's just not, the only thing to dislike is that he's not great after the catch. You know, much like Marvin Harrison, he gets the ball, he goes down, he goes out of bounds. He's not going to try to, you know, fight for extra yardage. You're going to have to live with that. Not going to throw him screens, but it's just such a ready-made X wide receiver that he looks like he's been playing the NFL 5-6 years already.
I remember his dad at Syracuse. That's how old we are. What stood out to me obviously was that, and I mean, he would get like double and triple teamed. I mean, like legitimately, and he would like still get there. Because I mean, everybody in the stadium knew that Marvin Harrison Jr. was the best player in the stadium, and he was still hyper productive, or at least, you know, drawing a ton of coverage to open it up for other guys.
Seems like, and we'll see. I think there's going to be trades. It's going to be a wild draft. I think we'll see what happens with JJ McCarthy, but everybody has the Cardinals taking Marvin Harrison at 4 overall right now, and then maybe Neighbors goes at 5 to the Chargers, although both those teams are major candidates to trade back, in my opinion, depending on what they can get. So yeah, really interesting landing spots, but either way, close your eyes on these guys. No matter the landing spot, I think they're going to be awesome. Anyone we didn't mention here, Renner, that you think fantasy players should be aware of? Obviously, these were your top 17 wide receivers, so going beyond that, it's starting to get pretty deep, but any other wide receivers you think fantasy people should be aware of?
Yeah, I mean, it's deep. There are a lot of guys. We probably didn't hit everyone that's going to be a top three rounder. The ones that intrigue me the most after that, who are maybe like probably going to be day three guys, maybe not be the guys that sneak into the third round. But Luke McCaffrey from Rice, obviously the bloodline's there. And this guy who just switched to wide receiver a couple years ago from quarterback. And I've already seen, you know, more things to get excited about than a lot of guys who've been playing wide receiver their entire life. So I think there's a lot to be, from a developmental perspective, that could continue, and his ability to exploit zone coverage, because, you know, former quarterback, he understands defenses, could be a really high-end slot wide receiver at the next level with sure hands after the catch ability. And then I'll go to Holy Cross's Jalen Coker, who's one of my favorite like late round guys. I just think he has such a high-end understanding of the position and great size. It is in the 210-pound range. Now on his tape at Holy Cross, I think he only played Boston College, was like the only exposure he got to high-end college football this year. But he looked like he belonged in that game. It really showed no signs of worry to me from projecting the NFL level. So more of a possession type, but I think a guy who could lock down a starting role for – those are probably like, again, fourth, fifth rounder types. But in that range, those are the guys I like the most.
Okay. Thank you for that. We had a special request from our own Dynasty virgin, Anthony Amico. He said, please get Renner's take on Jaquan Jackson out of Tulane. I have no idea if you even looked at this guy. His grind in the mocks rank is like 243 overall. So Amico is really scraping the bottom of the barrel here. But yeah, have you watched Jaquan Jackson at all? And for Amico, you owe me for this, Amico. Do you have any thoughts on Jaquan Jackson?
I have. He's just really on the smaller side, right? For guys, there's almost like a cutoff at a certain point where it's going to be difficult to find a role. And I think Jackson's kind of toeing that line. And I like him. I thought at the Senior Bowl, he was impressive in the one-on-ones. I think he has that kind of burst right out of his cuts that it's going to take to excel as a slot wide receiver. But I just worry about what's his sort of upside going to be at his size, which just kind of limited sort of the route tree he's going to run at the next level. So,
yeah. Amico is asking about guys who may not even be drafted. So that's where we're at this portion of the show. All right. Appreciate Renner's time. As always, be sure you are subscribed to our YouTube, as we will have the other positions on the YouTube channel, as well as the audio feed, all free, of course. For Renner, for Silva, for producer Ryan and producer Luke, I am Adam. Good luck, everybody.